Welcome to the Simple Sophisticate Podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. I'm your host, Shannon Abels. And whether you're listening on your commute, exercising, working in the garden, or sitting down with a hot cup of tea or a cafe au lait, thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. Welcome to the 254th episode of The Simple Sophisticate. Today, what we're talking about is happy singledom. Now, you may be thinking, okay, I'm going to tune out. I'm not single, not going to listen. But this is the thing. The title is not about necessarily you being single now or you not being single now. Today's episode is all about how to know how to be happy when you are single or solo at any stage of your life's journey. And in knowing how to do that, it will strengthen your entire life, no matter where you are in your journey at this very moment. But before we get into talking about the 26 ways to infuse happy singledom at any stage of your life's journey, this week's petit plaisir has to do with those routines that we do throughout our days that create a better everyday life. And it has to do with a book that I read a few months ago that I want to recommend to you, as I found a lot of insights and ideas and inspiration. And I think if you are someone who is always looking for ways to elevate your everydays, especially in your career, I think you'll enjoy this book. All right, back to the topic of happy singledom. I want to begin with a quote from the book that inspires today's episode. The book is called Happy Singlehood: The Rising Acceptance and Celebration of Solo Living. And the quote is, "Across the world, despite all prejudice and beliefs against it, singlehood is the growing trend." Now, the author of this book is Ilkhem Kislev, and it came out just this past February. I had the opportunity to receive an advanced copy and read it, and I found it fascinating. It is highly beneficial to understand the construction of our beliefs regarding singlehood or singledom, so that after discarding the myths and acknowledging the realities, we can, quote, freely choose whatever lifestyle fits us best. That's why I wanted to preface this entire episode by saying, whether you're single or not, this is an episode to listen to understand what really is going on in our world. This is not just about the United States. This writer took studies from around the world, and to understand whether or not what you're hearing is actually true, psychologically, socially, financially, all those different components that we say we should, we shouldn't, we should not, whatever. Hopefully we'll dispel some myths and realize the truth so we can make the best decision that works for us individually. With the life expectancy in most developed countries rising to just under 80 years, it is a statistical probability that all of us will be living solo or single at some point in our lives, whether by choice or circumstance. And consequently, knowing how to enjoy being single is a skill that would be most beneficial to acquire. Depending upon our innate temperaments, which is different than our personalities, each of us is more predisposed, for example, to be comfortable or prefer more or less social engagement. And depending upon what we most enjoy doing in our careers and in our free time, we will be more or less inclined to seek out companionship for long or short durations. This new book includes extensive research and an abundance of studies that demonstrate the reality of our modern world, that no matter what you prefer will enable each of us to live more consciously and thus more fully, as well as support others in their lives regarding how they choose to live, even if it's not something that we would prefer for ourselves. The first, most powerful finding that spoke to me was the acknowledgement of an unspoken truth regarding marriage. Now, as I mentioned earlier, these studies involve a large majority of the industrialized world, so not just the United States. Why do people, this is the finding that they researched, why do people step more easily into marriage, even with modernizations of the world we live in today? In other words, even when it may be something they don't want to do, why do they still think it's the right thing to do for them? Studies have actually proven that 51% of individuals entering into marriage acknowledge that it is a, quote, fear of aging alone or dying without anyone at our bedside that drives us into marriage, end quote. Here is another quote from the book on this topic. Marriage may not be such a good way to escape loneliness in old age. Not only do married people feel lonely in surprisingly high numbers, but also long-term singles are often better equipped to deal with loneliness later in life, end quote. Yes, that does mean that 49% of people did not report this as being a reason, meaning going into marriage to avoid being lonely or to not die alone or to have someone there when they are ill. 49% of people did not say that was the motivation, but 51% did. And that alone should give us pause, especially when we know that the divorce rate is nearly as proportionate and the percentage of a second divorce is still higher. While each couple situation is uniquely their own, to not address this fear is to place an undeserved burden on the individual we are marrying. In fact, studies have proven when we do address this fear as to why we're marrying and trying to prevent being alone, trying to prevent not having someone there, as those who never have married actually do confront, when they do that, they're often confronting it earlier in their lives. The individual is more likely to make the best decision for themselves and thus improve their overall happiness, no matter what the decision may be. So the reason I share this is because it's not necessarily to scare you away from marriage. It's not at all to scare you away from marriage. It's to make sure that we live consciously, that we don't repress our fears. We do understand them, dive into them, explore them so that we can make better informed decisions that will be more authentically aligned with what we sincerely are trying to seek out and thus communicate that with those that we are entering into these relationships with. Now, many Simply Luxurious Life and Simple Sophisticate readers and listeners know that I am single and have been for the majority of my life. Now, don't worry, this is not an episode advocating for being single if you are either happy in a happy marriage, happy in a happy relationship, or wish to be coupled. This is not about trying to dissuade you of that. Rather, today's episode will hopefully broaden all of our understanding of the realities of societal norms, motivations, pressures, expectations, unconscious biases, and realities so that whatever your life's journey is and will be, it is one made with a clear mind that has discarded the myths and is enabled to make the best decision for you and the life you wish to lead. True contentment, in other words, is the goal of today's episode. So let's get into the 26 ways to ensure happy singledom. Number one, assess honestly your self-perception of how you define loneliness and where that definition was constructed. This is the part that will be unique for each of us. We might have some similarities when we discover, but this is where you have to have an honest conversation. What is the statement or the phrase or the show or the character or the relative who has infused into you this idea that being single is bad? If it is one person or a film, just remember that is their opinion, that is their maybe experience, but probably not even their experience, is probably something they have seen perpetuated somewhere else and it has become a stereotype. And then you have to ask yourself who constructed that stereotype. If it was on media, and this is the thing, and there's a great show if you haven't watched, a great documentary called Misrepresentation. It came out in 2011. It's about female objectification in the media, but it plays into these stereotypical myths about women and the negativity behind being single. And it preys upon even this idea that you must be coupled. And if you are not, you are undesirable. And if we can then look behind the scenes and see who's constructing that, the majority of the time, it is a man constructing that. And I don't mean to attack men here, but it is a reality of asking that question of who is writing this narrative. And unless it's a woman writing that narrative, how can anyone else know what it's like to be a woman? And the primary source is crucial. Even Sex and the City, for all the good that it did do, in all sincerity, to dispel this myth that women cannot enjoy a full sexual life. I remember there was even an episode with Miranda where she had this fear of dying alone and her cat eating her face for food. And I'm thinking, you're perpetuating a myth even by saying that. So even they played into these myths as well. And we have to be careful about what we accept as truth and myth, because often we don't realize that we've accepted someone else's misguided understanding, whether it was unconscious or conscious. So do analyze and assess where your ideas come from. And also understand that time changes, economies change. And if you're looking in generations past, maybe your grandmother, maybe your great-grandmother, maybe even an aunt, as much as we want to say, I don't really believe it, sometimes we unconsciously believe that we have more in common with someone else when we probably don't know them as much as we think we did. We heard stories about them from people who have their own perceptions. But at the same time, even then, economically speaking, opportunity speaking, legally speaking, things have already changed so much. And there's so many more things that we now know and have the opportunity to do than we have ever in the past. So with that said, number one, the first assignment to each of us is to assess honestly where our self-perceptions of loneliness came from, especially with regards to the idea of being single. Number two, build and continually nurture a strong social well-being. Having a strong social well-being helps eradicate or reduce social loneliness and emotional loneliness, as you will have people in your life in which you feel close to and may turn to emotionally, as well as have both peripheral acquaintances that give you a sense of belonging, which would be the social component. So in episode 92, if you've been listening for the last few years, you know that we talked about social well-being in length and in depth about how to construct your own social well-being circle. And there's a lot of different components to it. And I've actually detailed it even further in my second book, Living the Simply Luxurious Life, if you want to learn more about it there. But you can also tune in to episode 92. So that's build and continually nurture a strong social well-being. Number three, conduct a life review, which means self-reflect and find peace with your journey thus far. Quote, happy older singles have the ability to look back and gain control over the circumstances that led to being single. This is something to do once and do well, and then to let yourself move forward. If you continually live in the past, and I have made this mistake myself, keep rehashing, well, what if that? And mine is less to do with being single and more about some different decisions in my life and where I've moved and where I've sought to live and things like that. But I also know from those experiences that to dwell on them is not healthy. So it's this idea of conducting a life review, learning from where we've come from, good, bad, or indifferent, and then moving forward. So number three, conduct a life review. Number four, celebrate and exercise the ability to make your own decisions. You are single. Whether by choice or by circumstance, you are single. You get to make every single decision on your own. That is a superpower. That is an awesome gift. It is not a burden. And that's the shift that needs to happen. That is the shift that needs to happen, as number five will kind of get to. So number four is celebrate and exercise the ability to make your own decisions. Number five is revel in your solitude. Produce your own, quote, show, so to speak. One individual shared, and there's a lot of anecdotes throughout this book of people of different ages, different life experiences, and they're reflecting on their journey of singledom and how they got to where they are and what they had to understand and realize and go through to get there. But this idea of understanding that when you're on your own, living on your own, when you have that time to yourself, you can have your own little show. You can do what you want. You can, as this woman said, dance at 6 o'clock in the morning to show tunes if that is what you love, or you can jam it out in the evening to your favorite song, or you can cook to your heart's content, whatever you want. You can have this routine that works best for you. And this is also where you learn so much about yourself. So revel in whatever length of time you are single or solo, revel in that, embrace it, and absorb all the different opportunities that it's giving you. That's number five. Number six, take responsibility for your own contentment. Contentment is something that is found within happiness. And we do use happiness repeatedly throughout this episode, but for the purposes of discerning the difference between contentment and happiness, happiness is on the outside of us responding and reacting to things beyond our control. Contentment is something that we have control entirely within us. And it's about how we navigate through our everydays. And once we take responsibility for that, and we don't presume that who we are in a relationship with or who we choose to get married to is responsible for making us happy and realizing it's contentment we should be seeking, our quality of life improves no matter who we're with, whether we're with anybody or not, and thus those we are around in any capacity improves. So the elevation of our life, overall life, will improve. I have written a lot of posts about this because that is the primary focus of my second book, Living the Simply Luxurious Life. You can find all of the related episodes or posts on a link from the show notes. You can also pick up my book, Living the Simply Luxurious Life. That's number six, take responsibility for your own contentment. Number seven, distinguish between the myths regarding marriage and singlehood and the reality of marriage and singlehood. Here are three I'd like to share with you from the book. Young people fear being physically vulnerable in old age more than elders actually do. Second quote, 57% of the 18 to 64 year old population anticipate memory loss in old age, while only 25% of those aged 65 and above actually experience memory loss. Furthermore, while 42% expect serious illness in old age, only 21% of those aged 65 and above experience the same. I provided this quote and all these quotes on the show notes if you want to take a closer look at them. But the reality is, if you look at those three examples, or those two examples, that we think things are going to happen, and when reality, they actually do not for most people. And the third quote I'd like to share with you is, while an expectation of loneliness arises among 29% of young people, and young people being in their 20s to their mid to early 30s, only 17% experience loneliness in old age. 17. So there are a lot of myths, and these are a few of them that are dispelled in the book. There are many more, but I think those are great examples of what is indoctrinated in many ways into young people's minds from whatever reason. And that's the thing, we need to do our homework and figure out where that comes from. And they are often untrue as we actually experience them in old age. Number eight, foresee and prepare for potential emergencies. In other words, financial planning, engage with it early, often, and regularly. Craft a living will and construct your own family. And that really goes back to construct your own social well-being, invest in it and nurture it. Number eight is foresee and prepare for potential emergencies. Number nine, engage with your community for resources, connection, and engagement. This could be your neighborhood. This could be your town. This could be your place of work, but become a part of that fabric. Get to know your local spots and the people that serve you in different capacities at restaurants or in your coffee shop, at your grocery store. Be part of the community. That will be part of your social well-being. So number nine is engage with your community. Number 10, learn how to socially engage as a singleton in a manner that makes you feel safe and fulfilled. Now, this will be a little different for every single one of us. So for example, I go to different movies on my own and I love it, number one. And I've also figured out how to navigate. So if I am the first one there, or if I am by myself, okay, I bring a book and I just read in the theater before the movie starts. And the funny thing about that, I have to share this. I recently went to a matinee. It wasn't really a matinee. It was a early evening showing at our local boutique theater. And I usually arrive early, not always, but I usually arrive early, and I got my seat. Sure enough, that theater filled up and there was one or two other women on their own. And one or two of them also had books out and were reading it before the film started. Figure out what works for you. I loved it. I talk to the people that sit next to me sometimes. Sometimes I don't. It really just depends. But figure out how to engage in a way that makes you feel comfortable and embrace that. And I think you'll find confidence in doing that as well. That's number 10. 11, refrain from seeing marriage as a form of self-validation. In other words, seek validation from within, as society's values are limiting, dynamic, and generalized. I've written about this more than a few times on the blog, but I've included one post from the archives that goes deeper into this topic, and it's called First Seek Self-Approval, if you're interested in diving deeper into that. And this really does go back to this idea of why are people feeling marriages for them if they are doubtful but still go forward anyway. If you're doing it to be validated from the external world, that is not a path to true fulfillment. So number 11 is refrain from seeing marriage as a form of self-validation. Number 12, use your time being single as a time for self-growth and development. Find the road to your truest self. I'll provide a handful of links to posts and episodes on being single and embracing it and savoring it. But one of them that I have is why not live alone for a while? And this is one of the more popular posts from the archives. And it delineates all the different things that you can explore, enjoy, and revel in when you do choose to live on your own for a while. That's number 12. 13, maintain and strengthen your overall health, physical and mental. This is crucial because often what we fear is having bad health and not having someone to take care of us. Well, be preventative and do what we can. I know we can't predict everything. And I know there are some things that will arise no matter how great of health we have. But there's so much we do have control over. Why not take advantage of what we do and do what we can to strengthen our mind and our body and understand how to master our mind so our mind doesn't take over and get us to worry unnecessarily and to make decisions that aren't best for us and things like that. So I've provided a link to episode 212, which shares the 6 pillars of good health if you want to dive deeper into those. That's number 13. Now, before we get to the second half of this list, I'd like to introduce you to the sponsors for today's episode. Since we're talking about happiness, this is a perfect sponsor that I want to introduce you to. BetterHelp is an online counseling service that is there for you, and it will connect you with a professional counselor in a safe and private online environment, which makes it very convenient. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors that are specialized in a variety of arenas. Could be anger, could be depression, could be anxiety, could be relationships. Speaking of relationships, it could be self-esteem. There are many more topics that they are licensed in, but everything you share is confidential. They offer 3,000 different U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states, and they are actually available worldwide. If you are comfortable chatting on the phone, that's available. If you would prefer video, choose video. They can even just text with you. It's really tailored to make it work for you. And you can start communicating in 24 hours. It's secure, it's convenient, and it's professional, and it's affordable. But it's not a crisis line. This is for you to deepen your understanding of different parts of yourself you're trying to understand and navigate through. So we're speaking about some of your fears in today's episode. This might be a wonderful opportunity to explore those with a licensed professional. Now, as a simple, sophisticated listener, it's an even more affordable option because listeners of the Simple Sophisticate podcast will receive 10% off your first month with the discount code of SIMPLE. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/simple. That's BETTERHELP.com/simple and use the discount code SIMPLE for 10% off your first month of BetterHelp counseling. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/simple. The Simple Sophisticate is also sponsored by HelloFresh. HelloFresh makes conquering the kitchen a reality with deliciously simple recipes. With fresh, pre-measured ingredients and easy-to-follow six-step pictured recipe cards being delivered to your door each week, in a special insulated box, you will spend less time meal planning and grocery shopping so that you can get time back to do what you love. You can make family dinners fuss-free with HelloFresh's picky eaters, kid-tested and approved family plan recipes, or choose classic or veggie. All three different options for what you enjoy eating and for the household that you are cooking for. Enjoy fun menu features with HelloFresh dinner to lunch, 20-minute meals, gourmet, and one-pot wonders, among more options. So, what does this mean for you as a Simple Sophisticate listener? For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/Sophisticate80 and enter Sophisticate80. Again, that's HelloFresh.com/Sophisticate80 and enter promo code Sophisticate80 for $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. Now, I have been cooking with HelloFresh from time to time, and I have to say, every meal that I cook is made and enjoyed in under 30 minutes. The produce is always fresh, and I've always learned something new, which I appreciate because I love playing in the kitchen. So thank you, HelloFresh. So again, get $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/Sophisticate80 and enter promo code Sophisticate80. As we get back into this list of 26 ways to ensure happy singledom, I think it's really important to keep in mind that this is a choice and this is a skill. And we can all learn it and we can all strengthen it, no matter where we are in our journey. As someone myself who has done a lot of these things and realizes that I can still improve, I'm also looking at this list and going, yep, that's true. That really helped. Yep, that's true. That really helps. And I can honestly say, having been in relationships, the longest relationship I've been in, it was just over a year. I know that's not long for a lot of people, but for me, I've always had in the sense in the back of my mind, this might've been instilled because of how I was raised, but I always believed that I was worthy of the life that I dreamed about. And if for whatever reason, whether our dreams were going in different directions, whether it wasn't healthy, I had the wherewithal to say, nope, not for me. And I'm thankful to say that my relationships have ended amicably on both ends. But I think that's the key. Once you realize I can live very well on my own, we enter into relationships more thoughtfully. And with each relationship I've entered into, I have grown with that ability and that confidence. And what makes it easier to make that decision is I know how to be content on my own. And with that knowledge, that gives me more comfort and strength and a stronger voice. And so let's get back into this list. And number 14, you're going to know immediately, yep, that's true for Shannon, but it may not be for me. But 14 is, if you are a pet person, welcome a pet into your life. Now, this really is only for people who want that responsibility of taking care of a pet and are fully aware of the responsibility. I don't talk often about being a pet mama. Or a doggy mama, because I don't think it's for everybody. And I think that's imperative. But studies have also shown those that do welcome a pet into their life and fully invest in that responsibility have an increased happiness in their life because they have that companionship and they have the responsibility and the nurture that is reciprocated. So that's number 14. 15, confront the fears that are causing you to assume marriage is the answer to assuage them before you get married for the wrong reasons. This is going back to our number one, but it really has to do with truly knowing if you're going into marriage for the right reasons. And if 51% of people are getting married primarily because of these fears, that's not a strong foundation to begin a marriage on, as I think most, if not all, would attest or would agree to. So again, it's that self-evaluation, really getting to know yourself and being honest with yourself. And then maybe sitting down and having that conversation if you are in a relationship with your significant other. Maybe they have that same fear, or maybe they don't, and they can talk to you about how they've worked through it or what they've realized about themselves. And maybe you'll set yourself free from the relationship. Maybe it'll deepen your relationship. Everyone's relationship will be different. Number 16, simply be aware of the social stigmas, discrimination, and pressures placed upon singles. When you do this, becoming aware of this stigma, and this book will work you teach you a bunch of them. Doing so will enable you to confront and effectively deal with situations when they arise in a productive way to potentially bring more awareness to the realities and discrimination that exists. And the more people that are aware of this and the more we confront it in a helpful and tactful way, the more that things can change for the better for everyone. Number 17, have a positive self-image and self-perception of your life as someone who is single. In other words, present yourself to the world, whether at work or in your personal life, as the confident and happy person that you are, and someone who just happens to be single, knowing that that is not the only thing that defines you. And if you let other people define you solely as that, then you might want to have a conversation with them or consider that relationship. Gradually, by doing this, by presenting a positive self-image and a self-perception, we change the face of what being single is. That's the reality. And that's some power that we have. That's number 17. 18, build your self-confidence. Find work and hobbies in which you feel valued and accomplished in. This could be in your career, your hobbies, or your social network. Be willing to try new things. Have a growth mindset. And as you see that you can learn, change, and improve and grow, you begin to realize you hold more power to cultivate the life you love than you may have realized. So this is when your confidence begins to grow. I have written and produced many top podcasts and episodes on confidence, but episode 5 is a great one to start with. It's called Confidence, How to Gain It, and Why It's Invaluable. That's episode 5 for diving deeper into how to build self-confidence. Number 19, consciously avoid the social pressures and discrimination. In other words, your attention gives validation. And if you choose not to speak up, what is said or done is deemed as acceptable. Whether it is the conversations you listen to or engage in, the people you spend time with, the jokes you go along with, and maybe even participate in that demean you and demean your life and what you've chosen to do, the films you pay to see, the music you listen to, any of these things that degrade or diminish or discriminate or place a social stigma on being single, when you provide your time and money to these things, you are validating them. Your attention is powerful. Your time, your money is powerful. So give it consciously. That's number 19. Number 20, speak up and confront discrimination when it occurs. Often people aren't even aware of their bias regarding marriage being the best option. So if you're having a conversation with someone and they come up and they say, "So how's the single thing going for you?" There's a great comeback that's very simple and parallel entirely to what was just said. Simply parallel what they've said back to them and flip it for being single with being in a relationship. Maybe say, "How's this relationship working out for you?" It's going to sound odd initially, but hopefully it'll make them realize how silly what they're saying is and how judgmental it actually is, whether they realize it or not. Now, there are other things that they may say, and you may have a unique statement that you have been confronted with. But if you are someone who wants to confront in a tactful way, do so in an equal question or comment to what was received so that the speaker can see the error of their words and assumptions. That's number 20. Number 21 is seek a career or a calling that gives you purpose, in which you feel you are contributing something of value to the world. The majority of people who have either never been married or are widowed or divorced cite a job that they feel fulfilled in or that gives them purpose as a component to why they are very happy in their solo or single lives. That's number 21. 22, find a balance with work and leisure. Even if you love your work, you need to step away from it. You need to find balance and rejuvenation. And that's crucial. And yours is going to be unique to what you need and what kind of rejuvenation fills you up and doesn't drain you further. But find that and make that a mandatory part of your life, not a guilty pleasure. It's not a guilty pleasure. It's necessary. It's self-care. 23, let your curiosities guide you to seek out educational opportunities for growth. And this, again, is this whole idea of growth mindset and this idea of getting to know yourself and enjoying the opportunities you have, no matter what your budget. Just the idea of taking advantage of learning something new, and it broadens your understanding, just like picking up this book did for me and for anyone else who's going to pick it up. It might broaden your understanding of what truly it is like to be single in our world today. So that's number 23. 24, strengthen your three pillars of good health. That would be physical, mental, which would involve your social well-being as well, and financial health. If you take care of your three pillars of health, not just your physical health, but all components that make up your life, you are being preventative. You are ensuring that you have a stronger social connection to where you are, where you live. And you're also making sure that you get to enjoy the life you're living. So the health component, the physical health component. Number 25, acknowledge and cultivate manageable household responsibilities. If there's only one person living in a house or an apartment, all the chores and responsibilities are on you. All the bills are on you. So figure out what you can let go of, what you can delegate, what works well for you. It might be living in a smaller house, so you have less to pay for, but also less to take care of. But it also might be, but I have a good income, so I'm going to pay someone to clean my house so I have more time to do what I need to do, but I know I always live in a clean house. Whatever it is, examine the household management and how it's working for you. And number 26 is to recognize that choosing and embracing being single is not out of weakness or selfishness, but of strength and awareness to connect often more consciously with the world and the people around us. Here's a great quote on that topic. As singles, we know more than anybody else that true independence is actually interdependence, end quote. We liberate ourselves when we recognize there are many different ways to live well in our modern world. And even for those who do not fully or will never accept that there is more than one traditional way to live contentedly and contribute to society positively, as well as giving ourselves the opportunity to be self-actualized, when we model the reality rather than the myth, we encourage others to explore and reach their full potential as well. A more content world is a more peaceful world. If anyone is so fortunate to find a partner to enjoy life with, should they wish to, and be able to reach their fullest potential without feeling they are limited, confined, or lonely in something they should be doing, what a magnificent, awesome union that is. To lose such a person, no matter what our age, would be heartbreaking. But we can only control and strengthen ourselves. And when we strengthen the muscle of self-reflection, acknowledgement of fears rather than suppress them, we set ourselves free to live well throughout the entirety of our life's journey, whether we are with someone or not. The responsibility each of us has is to not place upon someone else's shoulders that which we are capable of doing ourselves. When we take on this responsibility of cultivating our own happiness, our own contentment, we will see more clearly what path we truly wish to travel. We will strengthen all of our relationships as we recognize we are interconnected in large and small ways, and we will give ourselves a deep breath of relief and excitement for the next step in our journey forward. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. I have truly enjoyed producing it. And as I read the book, understanding this, I found a lot of peace and reassurance in this book. And wherever you are in your journey, whatever type of relationship you are in or have or seek, I hope you find deeper contentment in your everydays. Now, I will provide a handful more of episodes and posts that you might enjoy listening to or reading, and that will be on the show notes, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast254. And I'll be right back with this week's Petit Plaisir. Welcome welcome back. This week's Petit Plaisir is a new book that came out this last spring called Daily Rituals, Women at Work by Mason Curry. And you may remember that he wrote a book previous to this called Daily Rituals, and it was just solely focused on anybody. But what he recognizes and acknowledges in his introduction to this new book is that predominantly the people in that first book were not women. And so this one is entirely dedicated to women throughout history and the work they do. So he shares insights and diary entries and descriptions from biographies of 143 artists on how they paint, write, perform, direct, choreograph, design, sculpt, compose, dance, etc. And just like the first book, it's organized very much the same way. You have the name of the individual, you have the years that they lived, you have his description of what they've done, but he also includes, again, diaries or descriptions from other books, because a lot of these women, he had to look at other books that wrote about them instead of just their own works, because a lot of them did not share what they did in their routines. You will find everybody in here. You will find Elsa Schiaparelli. So that Schiaparelli pink that you may know from the fashion world, she's in here, and they describe different things that she did. For example, every morning, Elsa rose at 8, no matter when she had gone to bed, sipped lemon juice and water and a cup of tea for breakfast as she read the papers, handled private correspondence, made telephone calls, and gave the menus of the day to the cook. So very specific routines in here. Martha Graham, the dance choreographer, Martha Graham, different insights and things that they shared about her. At night, she read voraciously, jotting down notes and copying passages that got her ideas flowing. She also kept working as a choreographer up until a few weeks before her death at 96. A dance critic profiled Graham on the eve of her 90th birthday, found her working as many as 6 hours a day. And so you really learn what their routines are and when they worked and how they worked. And you just get to see a bit into the mind and how it functions for a lot of these people. And it's very different, but also there's a lot of parallels as well. And I found myself marking it up from beginning to end with the different people that spoke to me and seemed to have similar, I guess you could say, it validated a lot of things that I myself find myself doing. And maybe some people who don't enjoy what I'm doing, it gave me this sense of, it's okay. If it works for you, keep doing it. You don't have to apologize or explain. And just be you. So anyway, the book is called Daily Rituals, Women at Work by Mason Curry. And I'll provide a link to the book on the show notes, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com/podcast254. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Petit Plaisir, where each week ideas are shared to make the everyday all the more enjoyable. Tune in at the end of each Monday's podcast, where I'll recommend a book, a film, or a recipe. Anything that is a simple pleasure to satiate your sophisticated taste. Thank you for tuning in today, and I hope that your June is off to a wonderful start. I'll be back next Monday with a brand new episode. Thank you for tuning in to the Simple Sophisticate podcast, where intelligent living is paired with signature style. For more ideas and inspiration throughout the week, visit the blog, thesimplyluxuriouslife.com, or pick up my new book, Living the Simply Luxurious Life, Making Your Everydays Extraordinary and Discovering Your Best Self. You can also pick up my first book, Choosing the Simply Luxurious Life, A Modern Woman's Guide, which is available now in paperback, ebook, and audio versions on Amazon, Audible, and iTunes, or wherever books are sold. To stay caught up on the most recent episodes of the podcast, blog posts, my new cooking show, and receive exclusive news as well as an extra dose of inspiration to jumpstart your weekend, subscribe to the Simply Luxurious Life's weekly newsletter, which arrives in your inbox each Friday to enjoy with a hot cup of tea or a morning cup of coffee. Until next Monday, I'm your host, Shannon Ables. Bonjour.